Good evening.
Are you the first to arrive?
I think so, but I was having trouble getting on.
Well, hopefully somebody else will come.
Okay, well, Judy texted me this morning. She had trouble getting on, so who knows? But we all know.
You know, a lot of it is with the damage to the cell towers. They repair them.
Yeah.
They got to come back and permanently repair them.
Right.
And in the meantime, people have issues.
And we've got cool temperatures again. It rained and brought in a cold front.
At least it's not as bad as the last one.
No, thank goodness.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well.
Thank you. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We will begin. L'shem yichud u'tshabrichu ishkinte bitkilu urkimu utkilu utkilu urkimu l'yakda l'shem yudhei bovavhe v'yichud ha'shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah לעסוק תורה מצווה. ויהינו המדוני אלוהינו עלי דמעשה ידינו כנני עלי דמעשה ידינו כננהו. בפר ומקיתי ונגה השם את פרו וגומר על דברי אמרה וקודשה בריחו Awa mahe ugin tach ragle chasidav ishmor urshayim v'chodech yad idamu ilain paro v'yavi melech v'kudsha brichu avad v'chodinin Belelia kilo bekocha koa yigbarish manish Abraham biktiv beata Hashem eshet haish wigomer. We are studying Pasuk 366 from section 25. From the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. About Paro, it is written, and Hashem afflicted Paro and his house with great plagues. Sarah spoke out directly to the Holy One, blessed be He, asking him to smite, and he smote. It is written, he guards the feet of the pious, and the wicked are silent in darkness. Because it was Paro and Abimelech on whom the Holy One, blessed be He, inflicted judgments at night by darkness. Who is the man referred to in the verse, for my strength shall no man prevail? This man is Abraham, as it is written. Now therefore restore the man his wife. The pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions? Comments, thoughts.
Was it by a vision, or was it because of the plagues, or was it a dream that he realized that he had Abraham's wife?
Well, there's three verses being expressed here. So which verse are you asking about, or are you asking about all three?
I was asking about the last one. It does say plagues, but...
Well, no, the last one is now to restore the man his wife. So the one with plagues... And Hashem afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. That's the first one. So you're asking, is that were the plagues manifested in the physical world?
Well, it sounds like it was.
Well, is this a question that you ask on Pesach evening?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
That question is, I asked if you have asked that question the night of Pesach. Are the plagues real, or are they a vision?
No, they were real.
Okay.
But they were separated by months.
Yes, they were. Each one was separated by approximately a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, then is it basically saying by the time the plagues, he figured something was wrong, and he put two and two together and said, I have somebody's wife. I have Abraham's wife.
Well, in Abimelech's case, the Torah says he looked through a window. And the Zohar explains that that was a meditative tool where he was accessing the negative system to be able to see the future and see the cause of things. Now, when it comes to Pharaoh was seeing it in the physical level, so there wasn't a question. But he was going to his astrologers and saying, what do I do about this prophecy of the Redeemer? The Zohar says he went to his advisors. He had three main advisors. One was Bilam, who told him he should enslave the children of Israel and make abuse of their work. One was Yitro, who ran away rather than give him an answer. And so he ran away to become the king of Midian. And the third one was Og, who said he should kill them all.
Okay, I wasn't thinking of this as Pharaoh of the plagues. I thought this was an earlier Pharaoh.
The real question is, what is the verse telling us? This is the final verse in this section. What's the title of this section?
It is my sister.
So it was asking all of those questions about Abraham making that statement, and he had the same situation twice, once with Pharaoh and once with Abimelech. So the statement, Sarah spoke out directly to the Holy One, blessed be he, asking him to smite, and he smote. This is the night she was taken into Pharaoh's bed. And every time he went to touch her, he was hit by an angel or a demon or whatever tool you want to call it. But the hitting of Pharaoh was taking place because of Sarah's statement. Sarah spoke, and Hashem followed her words, just like every other tzaddik. Hashem follows their words. Whatever they say happens. Or is it they see what's going to happen, and so that's what they say? This is a question we all have to answer for ourselves, right?
I would suppose so, yes.
So in all of these verses that we've been reading for these many days and weeks, what conclusion do you arrive at? Did Abraham lie when he said she was his sister? Was he shading the truth, or was he being clearly honest? That's really the purpose of this verse that doesn't tell you things. It doesn't give you a cause and effect within it. It just reiterates various midrashim and it's describing what happens to people. One thing you did say, Hannah, is that you thought it was an earlier Pharaoh, and the fact that it's being brought in, this verse and this information is being brought in the Zohar at this point, hints to the reality and the discussion that the Pharaoh that was earlier that forgot Joseph is the same Pharaoh that had the slaves. Excuse me, that had the plagues, except he was considered a new person because of the time that had passed and the changes that he had gone through. As a younger person, he accepted Joseph. He accepted God as being in control. But as at the time of the slaves, at the time of Moshe, at the time of the plagues, he was a different person. And he had become hardened. His heart had become unwillingness. He started to think of himself as God, because all of the wealth of the world was flowing into Egypt, which is what happens to people when they get wealthy. They start worrying about losing their money. I have to guard my money, I have to guard my assets. And they're not the same person who accumulated those assets. Just like we can say, I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago. You'll notice I didn't ask whether I was better or worse than I was 40 years ago.
Well, I don't think we'd say better or worse. I think we were just different people. I mean, I look back at my life and, you know, I can see that I'm not the same person I was back then. And I don't know if that's better or worse. I like to think it's better.
Well, I guarantee you we're going to find out. It's going to take us at least another 300 years to find out, but we're going to find out. Should we go on to the next section?
I suppose so, yes.
The next section is titled, The Satan is Standing at His Right. To prosecute him. Verse 367. Va Hashem pakad et Sarah kasher amar v'gomer Rabbi Chiya patach v'amar v'yareni et Yehoshua hakohen hagadol omed lifnei malach Hashem V'ha-satan omed al yamino l'shit no ha'ikara it le'istakla be'ya v'yareni et Yehoshua ha-kohen ha-gadol da Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak omed lifnei malach Hashem Man malach Hashem, da atar tzarora, de nishmateya, de tzadik tzarira, beya wekolinun, nishmatin de tzadikaya, kayimin taman, wedahu malach Hashem. And Hashem visited Sarah, as he had said. Rabbi Chiya opens the discussion with the verse, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Hashem, and the Satan standing at his right to prosecute him. This passage should be studied carefully. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, refers to Joshua, the son of Yehotzadak. In the phrase, standing before the angel of Hashem, who is the angel of Hashem? It is the region that is called the bundle, to which the souls of the righteous are attached. And all the souls of the righteous are there. And this is the angel of Hashem, which is mentioned in the verse. Pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions? Comments, thoughts.
Okay, it looks like we have another code word, bundle.
Correct. Okay. And what is the bundle?
Well, go ahead. You go ahead.
The bundle is the souls of the righteous.
Well, my first thought was that it was a group of angels being called the angel of Hashem. But I can see, and all the souls of the righteous are there, so I see that.
The bundle it could be considered the Garden of Eden also.
Mm-hmm. Saying that he was on the right, is that because he was facing Joshua, which would have been his left, to be voicing judgment, prosecution, you know?
Well, which way does the high priest stand when he's standing in front of the altar? Is he facing the Holy of Holies, or is he facing away? He's facing the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he's on Joshua's right. He's on the left of Hashem, if we attach the concept of left and right to Hashem.
Okay.
It's like when we bow, when the leader of the minions say the Kaddish, and they bow to the ark, they're not bowing to an idol. They're not bowing to the Torah. They're bowing to the Shekhinah, and they start by bowing to the left side, and then they go bow to the right side, and then they finally bow to the center. And then the fourth action is to lift themselves up and stand straight. But you would think they need to start bowing to the right first. And the explanation is because we're bowing to the Shekhinah, who is essentially connected to the ark, her right side is our left side, and so that's why we bow to the left first, because it's really her right side. And the same thing applies here. The Satan is standing to the right of the high priest, but it's really to the left of the Shekhinah. And that's why 3 and 4 year olds always have difficulty identifying left and right.
I know. So the 7 and 8 year olds. I had to put signs in each ball up high with left and right, and even north, south, east, and west. And then with me facing the class, I always had to do the opposite. And that's
right.
Why sometimes it kind of screwed up my mind, because, you know, you have a toothache and you try to tell the dentist and you end up touching the other side because you've been so used to doing the opposite, you know. I still, every once in a while, that happens. I have to watch that I'm not doing just the opposite because I did it for so many years.
I understand. And the bundle, which is the righteous, the souls of the righteous, the souls of the righteous are the angel of Hashem. Because, we constantly think in terms of separation, a human being and another human being. They're not the same, but they are. They're all the endless vessel. So the fact that there's a million righteous people, the souls of a million righteous people in that area that is being called the bundle, which is probably the Garden of Eden, there's only one angel. But are they arguing among themselves to find the truth of the solution? Because they each have different perspectives. A lot there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to contemplate. And we are out of time. We will pick it up tomorrow at the same time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a beautiful evening. The late class tonight starts at 7 West Coast time. and it's going to be a question and answer session. Shalom gadol to everyone.
Shalom gadol.